Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Plank of the Week. And I'm delighted this week to introduce you to two people who have been doing Plank of the Week now for quite a long time. Russell Quirk, a veteran, probably the most regularly appearing male guest, I think, actually, over
time. Thank you very much.
And, of course, Emma Webb, a political commentator, who joins us for the first time in the big studio.
So yeah,
we can't believe that, because we've been here for a while, so welcome. And it is pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's very snazzy.
It's very snazzy. We've got better makeup, better lighting, you know, better quality of guests.
It's almost a professional setup.
You would think.
Yeah.
Almost.
Glamour.
Still got a little way to go. So, Emma, why don't you kick us off with your first plank nomination of the week?
My first plank is the RAF. Because they have, and you'll love this, they've gotten rid of the use of the phrase airmen and airwomen.
Yes.
And want to replace it with aviator, known to most of us as a pair of sunglasses.
Yes. That is a pair of sunglasses, isn't it? Ray-Ban aviators.
Yeah,
I suppose you can't say Ray-Ban.
One MP, Patrick Mercer, quite rightly said that this was a load of woke BS. Because it's completely backward. They were saying that now one in five recruits to the RAF are women, and right. So they need to use... Therefore, they think they need to use gender-neutral language.
So someone complained?
Which is a contradiction, right?
Yes.
Because they are women. They're not non-binary.
Well, they're not gender-neutral. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, surely that means that the equality has come first. Why would you have the language follow second?
This all started with chair, didn't it? Do you remember when they changed chairman to chair?
Person.
First they tried chairperson, which is ridiculous, and then chairwoman. Sort of didn't sound right. So now it's chair. So you now get called a chair, piece of furniture, if you happen to be sitting on a committee which you are the head of. It's mad, isn't it?
You're slightly less warm and cuddly than
So maybe they should just call it an air.
So actually, after having recruited loads more women, they've decided to erase those women by no longer using the phrase airwoman.
And are we expected to
Airwoman does sound a bit weird. It sounds like something not like somebody who's in the RAF. I don't know what it means, really.
But are we supposed to believe that the 20% of people in the RAF, therefore, that are women, are offended by being called women? I mean, is that what
I can't imagine they would
well,
be.
Well, I don't suppose
also, how many of them are actually going to be air women anyway? Because I presume by being called an air woman, you'd have to actually be flying a plane, wouldn't you? Or
I think many of the... They said many of the new recruits are women, so...
Yeah, but they're not all going to be in planes, are they? I mean, I know it sounds weird, but a lot of people work in the RAF...
They won't all be pilots.
...don't
they
ever go in a plane.
True.
Infantry, drivers...
Pilots would, of course, be a more sensible term rather than aviators.
Pilot would be fine. Also, what about navigator? Do they have navigators anymore? What do they call them now?
But it's just so oversensitive.
Yeah.
It's, again, as always, they assume that someone is going to be offended by something. It's like the civil servants
who wanted
to cancel the use of Christmas.
Right.
They imagine that someone is going to be offended by something when nobody actually is offended.
And they try and get out in front of it.
And then the people they expect will be offended say, no, this doesn't offend us.
And a big decision probably made by three or four idiots in a room that then affects a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's face it, the idiots in the room who came up with this probably don't fly planes either.
No.
You know,
or it'll be a consultancy that's been bought in for £18,000 a day to make sure that organisation is diverse.
I mean, maybe they should change the whole name of the Royal Air Force.
But on a serious note, though, it's a contradiction because they've had an equality drive.
Yeah.
They've got all of these female recruits in, and then they're implementing a policy that erases women and probably makes it less attractive for women to go
but also the serious point, if you can make a serious point over something so ridiculous, is how do they then gauge gender diversity in the future if they don't know who's
a
man,
exactly
who's a
the
woman?
Point.
How do they know?
Well, you could look at them and make a judgment.
Well, yeah, but
you're not allowed. You're not allowed to do that on site.
Oh, so you don't know if the amount of women in the Air Force are increasing or decreasing. You won't be able to gauge it. So it'll become even less equal and diverse.
Well, presumably it also allows them to nominate people who are non-binary and people who do identify themselves as a different gender.
But it's like the snake that eats itself, yeah. Right? That's eating its own tail. It just goes round and round and round, and they just.
But that's always
themselves.
What ends up happening. I mean, it's the way everything is now going. Is that sort of the wokists are now arguing amongst themselves about which bit of the wokists' dream is real and which bit they can't do.
Your comment about banning the royal bit of the Royal Air Force, I think that could happen.
We can't be far away from that, can we?
Well, soon they'll be banning the force part because it sounds aggressive.
That's true, actually. Make it service.
Yeah, look, if you're an anti-monarchist, royal you could be offended
service.
By being part of the Royal Air Force, couldn't you?
Because they have changed police force, haven't they? I don't know when this all happened. You know, they've changed the language literally around me as I have lived my life. You know, the various decades that I've been through. They've changed everything.
Yeah.
And the language gets further and further removed from reality as well. So now we're getting to a point where things just don't describe the things they're relating to. They're becoming so abstract.
And the whole royal thing, I mean, I was thinking of nominating Prince Charles today, but I'm not. He's escaped because there are too many other good ones. But, I mean, his speech in Barbados where he talked about, you know, the slavery kind of, you know, the shadow cast across the empire. It's like... You're related to the Queen, right? You're the heir to the throne.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think that's about? Is that about white... If he's that bothered, why doesn't he just give up?
His great-great-great-grandfather was in charge at that time.
Yeah.
So it was completely down to his family that
running
we had
the world.
Slavery in the first place.
Yeah. It's all his fault. I mean, I think he should just resign immediately.
Yes.
It's mad, isn't it? All right, what's your one then? First one up.
My first festering hypocrite, yes. As it is Ed Davey, leader of the Liberal Democrats.
Festering hypocrite of the week.
Yeah, so this is the guy that on BBC TV, not...
Sir Ed Davey.
Sir Ed Davey, sorry. Yeah. Well, yeah, you should say that, because most hypocrite. Of us have forgotten who he is. Most of us don't even know who he is.
You know, I forget who he is, because he hardly ever gets the chance to speak to him. He's got so few MPs in the House of Commons that he doesn't get to ask a question.
He has spoken over the last couple of weeks, but now probably wishes that he hadn't. Because he stood up on BBC TV to slate Boris Johnson and Tory sleaze, as he put it, over second jobs and so on.
Yeah.
But seemed to forget that he himself has a second job.
Also, it's quite a good one as well. It's not like...
Well, he works for a law firm.
He does a bit of, you know, writing on the side of the Daily Telegraph.
He works for a law firm that, let me remind myself, Herbert Smith Freehills, who, of course, he's now just resigned from.
Right.
He forgot, I think, that he was earning £78,000 a year.
It's easily done, to be honest.
I mean, where the money came from when he looks at his bank statement every year, every week, who knows? But so he has now referred himself to the Parliamentary Standards
I love it when they do that, because they have no... They don't know, they're not sure whether they might breach the code.
But I bet he still looks at himself in the mirror and thinks, no, it's okay. Yeah. You know, I stood up not a few days ago, slagged off the Tories.
I remember talking to one of these MPs, and they actually believe that if they've referred themselves to this body to find out whether or not they've done anything wrong, that's enough.
That was the whole point around Owen Paterson. They thought that he wasn't contrite enough.
Yeah.
It's like this sort of kangaroo court where you have to go sort of doffing your cap and... Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
But bearing in mind that this is, you know, not just an MP that should know better. He is the leader of a party. He took it upon himself to stand up on camera to slag off the fact that Tories have all these
second
jobs. I mean,
how could he forget that you've
got
a second
job? But he must have had it in his head that...
It's got the same problem as Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
I've also got one of those. So, so massive hypocrite, massive plank.
Has he given me the money back by any chance?
Well, no, that hasn't...
Does it say what he was getting that money for?
Just as a consultant. Something or other.
Right.
But let's be honest. Do firms pay lobbyists, consultants? I mean, there's a very fine line between those two things for no benefit whatsoever. I mean, why would you hire an MP and one of such seniority if it wasn't going to benefit you? And therefore, by definition, the benefit must be that that MP is going to do things, say things, give you access or whatever, that somebody else wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, because why else would you have an MP on your books?
Yeah, so by definition, he's as corrupt as the Tory sleaze merchants that he's stood there slating himself.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious, because presumably, even if it's only asking him if he can entertain one of their clients in the House of Commons tea room, you know, that's something which is undue influence, which shouldn't be allowed to be done.
Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be your constituents you take.
Well, so maybe someone should FOI all the emails between Ed Davey and this particular legal firm just to see exactly what conversations
have
been.
Well, if I was in the old days as a journalist, you know, which I'm not anymore, obviously, apparently I'm a shock jock now, so, you know, it's all changed. But, I mean, I would just get onto the law firm and say, could you please just tell us exactly what Ed Davey did for you?
Yeah, what's the job
description? Over the course of the last 2 years, you know, because I know how fastidious they are about keeping timesheets.
People in glass houses, isn't it?
Yeah, every lawyer I've ever employed charges by the quarter hour.
Yeah.
Right? So it's 15 minutes for writing a letter.
And I think it's clear, it's important to say that this is not just a Tory thing. It's clearly a Lib Dem thing, as per the point of
it's a parliamentary thing.
But Keir Starmer also earned £20,000, didn't he?
He turned down Mish Condoroe, didn't he?
Yeah, but he also has earned money as a second job, as a second role. They're, you know, so they're all as bad as each other. Mm. No wonder that we as the public look and just kind of roll our eyes and just say, okay, well, look, I'm now even more politically homeless.
Right.
You're all as bad as each other.
But the thing is, these things are not against the rules. It's like Jeffrey Cox. You know, I actually think there's a good argument for MPs being allowed to have second jobs. I don't think it should be defined as Tory sleaze. What is sleazy is being a hypocrite and being a throwing stones in a glass house.
And also I mean, for me, it's all about the time you spend doing it. You know, if Jeffrey Cox can do 5 hours work and earn £1 million, good luck to him.
But if he's doing
sort of 50 hours a week, he's clearly not able to do his job.
The check and balance, though, in terms of the filter, is surely the electorate. That's what the electorate's there for. That's why they elect or don't elect these people. Yeah. So that when he's up for a re-election in 2024, his constituents can decide not to elect him.
And his constituents love him. They think he's a good constituency MP.
Well, then he's doing right by them.
There's no issue there.
Jeffrey Cox, you mean, or this guy?
Yeah, Jeffrey Cox. But I think Ed Davey, I mean, that's what makes it really sleazy, is being so much of a hypocrite that you would, you know, polish your own halo in public and then go cap in hand to the Standards Committee.
Oops.
Exactly.
And presumably when they rule that he hasn't been in breach of anything at all, he maybe take the job back up.
Yeah, well, that's why he's done it, I suspect, because he hasn't actually broken the rules. Mm. So, of course, he knows that if the assessment comes back that he hasn't broken the rules, that's a press release to say that he'd done nothing wrong and he gets off the hook.
It's like the way they always say that they don't award themselves their own pay rise. It gets awarded by this body that they've set up to set the pay rise every year. So it just keeps going.
Which they've never
refused. Just give another pay rise. Yeah. OK, then, but it's not our fault you're giving us a pay rise.
But they never vote against it. No one ever moves a motion and says no.
No, of course not. No, because, you know, it's expensive being down there. Now, I'm going to go with Freddie Flintoff for my first nominee because the cricket star, who's a man who you might say has had a bit of a colourful life in the public eye, who can forget his appearance at Downing Street after England won the Ashes when they seemed to have been up all night drinking.
We said he'd been out for 3 days or something
like that. Yeah, and he could barely walk. I mean, I'm not saying that's a terrible thing, but, you know, again, it's a bit like the glass houses argument, right? He's apparently come out and given an interview. He's been working on Top Gear as well lately. I don't mean that as I mean, that's the name of the show.
Yes.
I'm not talking about
working in Top Gear.
You know, the one that Jeremy Clarkson used to do.
Yeah.
But he's been banging on about Roger Moore. For some bizarre reason, he decided to attack James Bond, which is not very British of him, I would have said. Mm. But he said that Roger Moore as James Bond is a creepy old bloke, saying the kind you'd warn your daughter about. Now, some people might say Freddie Flintoff's the kind of guy you might suggest you wouldn't want your daughter to bring
Pots
home.
And kettles.
I mean, you know, professional sportsmen, particularly in sort of cricket and football, you know, they're not known for being shy and retiring, are they? They're not known for not having a sort of party reputation, which, again, is fine. But he says he was watching Octopussy, apparently. He says, people I thought were heroes of the silver screen when I was growing up, now I'm not so sure. And then he goes, it hit me when I was watching the movies from the 1970s that this was a creepy old bloke who you'd warn your daughter about. I watched Roger Moore in Octopussy. He's on this bed with an aquarium in the background. I don't know what the aquarium has got to do with
perversion,
it. It's just outrageous. With a girl in her mid-20s, he must be 50-odd, with his hairy back, and he's getting on to mount her, which is a very odd choice of phrase, giving a little wink to the camera like everyone's in on it, and it's all right. Well, that's the whole point of Roger Moore's James Bond, isn't it? I mean,
but it was also of its time.
It was of its time. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Roger Moore as James Bond, actually. I don't think he was one of the best of ones.
I think it was of its, it's of its time in as much as this statement is of its time. That is pure virtue signalling.
It really
is. He's watched something.
There's a 40-year gap between the comment and the reality.
Well, I think he's sat down to watch that and he's thought, I'm going to find something problematic so I can make myself look good in public.
Because
and I'm
going to
bash Roger
BBC.
Moore in the process.
Well, here's another little factlet about young Mr. Flintoff. It comes after earlier this month, Freddie revealed how his cricket career ended. Cricket career ending coincided with an all-night bender with Kasabian and Oasis. Now, call me old-fashioned, but Kasabian and Oasis is also not really known for...
They're probably not sitting there reading prayer books.
I don't think they are.
Are they?
They weren't doing a sort of a tour of Northern Anglican
churches. That sounds like a very messy day or two, doesn't it? Or four or five.
Mm. He's now sober. Maybe that's the problem. He's now apparently given up drink.
Yeah.
And he went to have a medical appointment, popped into the Landmark Hotel for a quiet drink the night before, but he ran into Kasabian Serge Pisano and Oasis, and it became a rather raucous affair.
Yeah.
So,
any fish tanks involved?
Well, I think there might well have been the odd aquarium, but certainly certainly drunkard's fish tanks.
I suspect, given what's going on with the cricketing world, particularly at the moment, that Freddie Flintoff and co, mm-hmm. they want to be very, very careful.
There's a bit of backside coverage.
They don't say too much
here.
So people start delving into their social media from
And also, if you're watching,
15 years a shield.
Ago, watching old movies from the 70s, I mean, what are you expecting
you
to
see?
You
might find something.
What are you expecting to see, exactly? So I think Freddie Flintoff, much as people say he's a great guy to be around, I think he's made a bit of a woke blunder
here. Screams, please don't look at me. Yeah.
He's at the BBC. He's been indoctrinated by the BBC, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
He's been sucked in and kind of spat out by the BBC.
Exactly right. So, your number two?
My number two is the City of London Corporation.
Excellent.
They took...
I think they've been in it before.
They took a photograph of themselves standing in front of one of those. Apparently, it's called a tube roundel. Mm. It's the round tube sign that normally has the name of the place in it. They were standing in front of one of those signs that just said smile on it, but they took the photo wearing masks.
Oh. But can you see they're smiling with their eyes?
Smizing. Smizing in front of the smile sign. But yeah, again, this was, you know, comes after all of the stuff to do with the mask mandate.
And they're outside, presumably, aren't they? Or are they inside?
Inside. Looks like they're inside, right. In front of the
Because quite
sign.
Often what you see with these characters is they put the mask on for the picture, and as soon as the picture's taken, they take it off.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Meghan and Harry doing that in New York.
Yeah. And Nadine, the education secretary, doing exactly the same thing, no doubt, at that education conference.
Well, I don't think there was any point at which she was wearing a mask in that situation.
Well, as we all know, masks are only for the help.
That's right. That's only if you're actually bringing some food or drink to somebody, you have to wear it.
But Emma, where are... I mean, I'm sure that the City of London Corporation spent a lot of money on consultants and probably PR. Where were their handlers, their advisors that stood there or should have been standing there to say, yeah, that's just... You look ridiculous. Yes. Don't do that.
But there's a great shortage of that. We do shortage of the day. I should do shortage of decent advisors because none of them seem to have anyone that tells them that's going to look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody has
or
that
too scared
anymore.
To, maybe, yeah.
Right?
All the advisors have got so much contempt for the people they're advising, they just think, this would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let them do it.
If you were looking for some mischief, that would be a really good line of work to go
into. Just stand a bit more over to the left. That's just right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really is quite extraordinary how the mask thing has kind of taken over, isn't it? I mean, it's now suddenly gone from... Only a few months ago when they were saying, well, social distancing is definitely the thing.
Yeah.
That's definitely the thing. And now it's masks. And so even when they were saying before, well, actually, they don't really protect you. Now it's because just in case, safe than sorry, blah, you know.
Or the argument that it's to make other people feel more comfortable.
Yes, right. Yeah.
It's not really about the efficacy as much as it is about other people's feelings and mental health.
Right. I know, it really is quite extraordinary.
And when it comes to the protocol around masks is that you're supposed to wear a particular type of mask, of course. You can't just get one of these things off Amazon for £2.50.
What, you mean the blue ones everybody wears?
Yeah, yeah. So apparently it has to be a specific grade of mask.
Oh, really?
So for it to have proper effectiveness.
Yes.
But also not to wear it every day for 6 months, which I suspect the vast majority of people do. So even though there are people out there wearing masks because they're doing the right thing, they're doing their duty, the effectiveness of their mask wearing is absolutely pointless because they're not working.
And you would also have to wear it perfectly consistently in the sense that you never pulling it down.
Yeah, I mean, because
so
obviously if they did work, then nobody would be getting infected with COVID, would they?
Well, especially in the countries where there's been a mask mandate, like Scotland for the last 12 months. Mm. Well, how come in the recent weeks and months they've had a huge increase in COVID cases?
And you've got the Omicron variant in countries where they've had the most draconian rules ever, never mind masks, but locking down the unvaccinated.
And isn't that, that was in itself going to be a plank of mine, the Omicron variant, on the basis of the fear that has been... incepted upon us all over the last 3 or 4 days without there being any basis to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the South African Medical Association saying, no, actually, every single case that's been presented to us in the last, 3 weeks, so it's not a short amount of time, is presented with mild symptoms, there's been, you know, no deaths.
And they do say that might change.
But the evidence so far is it's okay, But instead, the whole world now has just basically gone back 18 months and, you know, we're potentially on the verge of even more egregious restrictions, totally unnecessarily.
And the press conference, when they were discussing this, it almost seemed as if that it was some kind of PR campaign for the booster campaign.
Funny that.
To get everybody to have your jabs before the wave comes, just in case the wave comes, because it wouldn't work if you had them during the wave. That wouldn't be effective.
No, of course not.
It's almost like a convenient publicity. Publicity exercise, isn't it? And then Jonathan Van Tam, of course, you see him yesterday at the press conference where he was saying all sorts of things that were completely untrue, as far as I can see. You know, one of those things being that with the new variant, if it does spread more rapidly, which it may well do, that in his words, it will inevitably lead to more hospitalisations.
Yeah.
That's not true. Well, if it's a milder version,
prediction, isn't
it won't do that.
But the problem is that with a lot of these things that you say are not true, it's not so much that it's not true or it is true, it's the fact that it's a prediction.
Yeah.
And if they keep saying, we don't really know, but... Mm. That's fine, but they don't really know.
And how many of these scientists' predictions from Downing Street over the last 18 months have come true? Not many.
Not very many.
In terms of the numbers.
Well, they haven't... Yeah, exactly right. Well, it's a whole minefield, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, you start... This is why we didn't want to do it. Because you end up disappearing down the rabbit hole. I'm sick to death of it. So I'm going to ban it, actually. I'm going to ban the variant and any mention of it from the Plank of the Week show.
Okay.
Give us your second nomination.
Let's talk about cats instead.
Let's talk about cats. This is good. This is very good.
I think this is great.
This could be the best. This could be the winner.
Fremantle Council. This is Western Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, Australia, what a world, what a country that is now compared to what I thought it was. They have, as a council, issued an edict which has been approved by a show of hands. So it's a democratic decision.
But were they all in the same room together? Or was it
well, I don't know if they were on Zoom. I don't know. Maybe that might explain it. What they have done, I kid you not, is to ban cats from being outside.
I mean,
except,
if you ever tried to tell a cat to do anything...
Well, herding cats. Yeah. Where do they think that comes from?
I mean, it really...
Where do they think herding cats comes from?
Cats do not care.
So, and yeah, cats are probably not
getting
the message.
They do whatever they want, cats.
Cats are now banned from being outside, of course, except if they're on a lead. That's all right.
On a lead?
On a lead, yeah.
I mean, occasionally see a cat on a lead and you think that's weird and you take a picture of it.
But I kid you not, this is not the April 1st edition of Plank of the Week. This is true. Fremantle Council, Western Australia, cats banned from being outside except when on a lead.
When you think
because
the
they're feral
can't
and
get
because
more.
They
well,
cause
it's like
a problem.
A cat curfew, then, is it? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, effectively.
But why
it is.
Cats?
Because they're wayward and because they do their own thing and because
wayward.
They wee in places and they scratch and they look untidy and they've got fleas. I don't know, a whole bunch
these
of reasons,
are people.
It's neurotic. It's completely neurotic.
These are the same people, right, who have ordered that certain... Like, people couldn't travel between the states, right? So they would have days when they could drive to the border, right, and sort of look over it to the people that they know who live in the other state. And so they'd all have to drive to the border of the state.
The state line.
But they couldn't actually cross the line.
No cats are allowed to cross state lines.
And obviously cats are not allowed to cross state lines, presumably.
Well, I guess.
But I mean...
Wayward creatures.
But again, the serious point here is that these authorities now think they have so much authority, they can now start dictating to wildlife how they move around the world.
I mean, what about birds? Nuts. I mean, maybe they should worry about the birds, which might be carrying all sorts
of next, it will be birds but having to have nappies on because they poo on people. Maybe.
Bird flu.
But, yeah, on a serious level, it is really Promethean. They think that they can be in control of absolutely everything.
Yes.
Nature, everyone's behaviour.
Yeah. As a consequence of the last 18 months.
Tides.
Sinister.
Yeah,
it's really
it
sinister.
Tides are not allowed to come in any further. You know, there'll be a
wind,
guy sitting
weather.
On the... But it is mad, isn't it? But also, the effect of all of that is that people now find themselves incapable of making any decisions without being told that they can do it. You see people all the time. It's a real bugbear of mine. I used to go to my kids, my primary school, kids' primary school for, like, you know, running and athletic days and all sports days, whatever. And they'd all start sort of trying to herd the parents, these teachers, because, you know, they think you're like a child. So they treat children all day like children. And I remember one of them was like, you can't go there, to me. I was like, sorry? You can't walk that way. I said, well, I'm walking this way, if that's all right with you.
Because
I don't
not
really
nine.
Need permission. I'm not nine. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a child. I'm not in your care.
I know that you've banned mentioning Omicron, but just to go back
not
to the press
well.
Conference.
It's not going well. He's already brought it up with the cats.
In the press conferences, I don't know if you've noticed, have started to look like a dumbed-down version of Blue Peter. The way that they explain things to people.
Yes.
It's so
next slide, please.
Yeah. Well, you think they think that the public are stupid,
Emma?
Well,
surely not. When Van Damme was explaining... and he said Van Damme. When Jean-Claude Van Damme
Jean-Claude,
was explaining to us why the system of naming the virus is not numerical, why it's based on these Greek letters.
Yeah.
It was like a dumbed-down version of Blue Peter.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right.
Anyway.
So time for my second one. I'm going to go with the BBC on two counts. One, actually, here we are talking about it again. Susan Mickey was the first guest that they chose after the press conference on Saturday. Finished up with Boris Johnson, finished up the slides, you know, Whitty and Valance went off backstage to, you know, have their backstage cackle. Glass of orange juice, presumably, take off the mask. They went, instead of going to sort of eat the South Africa, which is what I would have suggested as a storyline, you know, let's go to South Africa and find out what they know, or talk to somebody who might have some information that was useful from a hospital or something, they went to Susan Mickey, who is, one, not a medical person at all, who's a behavioural scientist, who, of course, said, well, the thing is, it's not, they haven't done enough. You know, they should be locking down more. They should be making people stay at home and work from home. And it was just the most ridiculous thing. And now two actual scientists have said, one of them, Simon Clark, who comes on with us quite a bit, and he's not by any means a sort of rabid, you know, anti-masker or anything like that. He said it's just wrong. They need to start telling people who this woman is. Mm-hmm. And they can't just say Susan Mickey from SAGE.
She's got no credentials.
She's a former communist, member of the Communist Party. Mm-hmm. She's a Labour Party donor. Right? Yeah. So she's always been to the left of centre. And they're saying, look, we don't mind if you get her on, but you must caption her correctly. Mm-hmm. You must start telling people.
Yeah. The context.
Exactly what it is.
Did she suggest that we should keep some of these measures...
Forever.
Forever, yes. Because of climate change.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's very much in favour of all of that.
But
and what
that
I'd
was
like
also, that was the BBC and Sky's line. I mean, immediately that Boris Johnson and his kind of, you know, Tweedledee and Tweedledum kind of stopped talking on Saturday, the Sky and BBC journalistic narrative was very much about, can you rule out or can you not rule out lockdowns, for instance?
Right.
Well, of course, they only asked that question as a plant so that later on, as duty happened, Sky reporter outside Downing Street, his narrative, his whole headline was, and of course, the government's not ruling out lockdowns.
No.
So he asked a question just so he could say that outside and scare the bejesus out of everybody.
Exactly right. So she's a member of this thing called Spy B, which is relatively new. I mean, I've heard of SAGE, I've heard of Nerve Tag, which nobody seems to mention anymore, because I'm like Neil Ferguson quit SAGE, but then joined Nerve Tag, which it turns out is pretty much the same thing. I don't know where these people are coming from. I don't know where they're getting paid from. I know a lot of them are attached to Imperial College. But, you know, what is Spy B and who's in it and what does it do? Mm. You don't even know the answer to it.
Is it the same PR consultants that chose to name it Spy B?
I mean, it's a weird name, isn't it? I mean,
it doesn't inspire trust,
does it? Where do they get the authority to speak with authority?
Yeah. And also, an awful lot of the time when they speak in a personal capacity. It's like, well, then in that case, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Might as well ask the bloke down the road.
Because it's not official.
It's not official. Mm. But, yeah, she's a long-standing member of the Communist Party, a Labour donor, and she basically was having a go saying that masks should be mandatory in all public buildings and social distancing should come back as well. And I just don't understand when we started listening to all these people, you know? Mm.
But the implication, of course, I was with some people at the weekend that then converted that hyperbole, that rhetoric that they heard both from the press conference but also the journalistic narrative thereafter. And they kind of converted lockdown, social distancing, travel restrictions, all of this stuff as being absolutely necessary. Mm. So the public, you know, I know the likes of us don't get led by, you know, what the government kind of crazily tell us that we should or shouldn't be doing. But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And all this stuff that comes out as a consequence of this rubbish then convinces a lot of the public that Omicron is really, really dangerous. It doesn't appear that it definitely is. Yeah. It doesn't appear that it is. Yeah. It might be, might not be. We just don't know. And that all of these things that should perhaps happen. I mean, Nicola Sturgeon and Drakeford also immediately called for Boris Johnson yesterday to tighten up restrictions with no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah, and actually also...
But they just like restrictions. That's the point.
In Sajid Javid's address in Parliament yesterday after the press conference, and I can't remember which Labour MP it was that stood up and just, again, as the Labour Party always do, they want more, more, more.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have any policy imagination whatsoever. They just want more masks. Mm. We in the Labour Party think that we should never have gotten rid of masks at all.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this
situation.
Even
though they didn't wear any at their own conference.
Well, quite.
You know. Although they said that was okay because it was a special event that they all knew that they were
going to. It's worrying because there's this feeling that, and I find this disturbing. I think it's very sinister that increasingly you see people in all of these different areas, whether it's Sage, whether it's, you know, Sturgeon or Labour Party MPs, who have now got it into their heads that the state or the elected officials should, or even unelected officials, should have this kind of power over people's lives that, you know, nanny knows best.
Yes.
Mm. And now it seems to have become so deeply ingrained in all of their thinking wonder what the effect of that will be on our politics forever.
Well, I do wonder as well, because right up until the end of last week, until this sort of variant was discovered in South Africa, it was almost as though we were out of the whole COVID conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we were starting to listen to people talking about other things. You know, we were talking about migrants. We were talking about, you know, the policy with the EU on fishing. We were talking about, you know, COP26 and the whole green agenda and all of that. But that's another thing where they've all gone kind of over to one side and all agreed that this is mm-hmm. the narrative and this is all true. You can't argue with it.
Yeah.
So, and if you do argue with it, you're some kind of maniac.
Well, and then you get cancelled.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the truth of it all is that some of the stuff they talk about is true, but it's what they then do with that, which I think is the problem.
Well, and not allowing the debate. Not allowing, you know, this thing about following the science. Well, guess what? Sometimes the science is contradictory. It conflicts.
Well, it can
so
do.
Let's have the debate about both strands of science. Let's not just say, well, you can't talk about that bit.
Mm.
You can only talk about this science that suits our narrative.
But again, it's the paternalism.
Yeah.
Because the paternalism
precludes there being
any discussion whatsoever. You can't have proper science without discussion. You can't have a proper free society without debate.
Yeah.
And because they've got this paternalistic mindset, now they think that anybody who contradicts them is bad and wrong and should shut up.
YouTube channel taken down. Yeah.
Well, exactly right. And then, of course, the other reason I'm nominating the BBC is because David Blunkett this week wrote in the Daily Mail that he's given up listening to Radio 4 now because it's become so woke that it's just ridiculous and pathetic.
But it's so bad it took itself off air this week, I think.
No. Yeah, apparently so. It's missing for quite some time, I think, yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think I'm told that everybody else got a bit of a boost. And, of course, anybody that came to listen to Talk Radio will be staying with us because it's a lot more interesting. And the point about Radio 4 and the Today programme in particular, I used to watch that. Listen to that like religiously. It used to be the one show that you always needed to listen to as a journalist anyway, because it had everything you needed to know for that day when I was working in the newspapers and all of that. But I don't know what's happened to it. It's now become this kind of bizarre fest of revolving presenters, and they've got so many people you never know who's on from one day to the next. And, you know, you get Nick Robinson shouting at the Prime Minister saying to shut up, you know, and you're kind of going, sorry, you've asked the Prime Minister onto the radio and you've told him to shut up. Isn't the point that you'd want him to speak?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what Boris said about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're just thinking, I don't know where it all went wrong. And now they're talking about getting Laura Kunzberg in as well, because she's obviously giving up her job as BBC political editor.
Are you not nominating the BBC for a third reason?
What would that be?
Acquiescing on the whole Megxit thing.
Oh, yes, that's a very good point.
Third reason.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. So
this is news that has entirely passed me by.
Well, this is the second instalment of the Harry versus William royal family, you know, explosion, where apparently they're briefing against each other and so on and so forth. And, of course, lots of people, us included, have referred to the fact that Meghan and Harry have decided to go off to the States as Megxit, which makes perfect sense. It rhymes with Brexit.
It rhymes with Brexit. It's got the same number of syllables. It's what we call in the trade a decent headline.
But Harry
Harry thinks it's misogynistic. Yeah.
And so, therefore,
sexist.
The BBC put their hands up and said, oh, OK, then. And so now they're renaming it the Sussexit.
Sussexit, which makes no sense because it's got one extra...
Because they can't do the sexit. That was
sexist. So more syllables.
Yeah, no, and so now it's got three syllables instead of two, which completely ruins the idea.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work, and it doesn't make any sense. It's also really hard to say.
Yes.
Sussexit.
Yes. But they've just given in.
Also, they're not the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Why do we keep calling them that?
Not quite.
You know, I prefer to call them the Duke and Duchess of Netflix.
Mexit is just colloquial. It just is, right? It's just what we say, right? So, you know, and it's not offensive.
Well, it's like Frexit. You know, you talk to the French about, you know, whether France is going to leave the European Union. It's Frexit.
Yeah.
It tells it.
It's not offensive in any way, shape or form. But the BBC yet again have acquiesced, given in, and just said, OK, we've called it something even more ridiculous now. But,
it really is.
Three reasons.
Yeah. So, yeah, he said, people who live outside a narrow class of well-off professionals who rigidly write on opinions, almost all of them in London, no longer feel included by the station. That's what he says.
Wonderful.
And I think that's right. Mm. So come to Talk Radio. You'll be very welcome. People will like
you. I'm into that.
Yeah. Now, your third one, please.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
This is my favourite one because it's so wild. So if you remember, Disney Plus put out a Black Lives Matter advertising commercial campaign at the time.
Yes.
And now they have removed...
To show how inclusive they are.
Well, yes, and it turns out that actually they're not exactly, going back to people in glass houses, not exactly consistent in their approach to these sorts of things, particularly when it comes to slavery. So episode 12, series 16, 2005, if anyone wants to look it up, has been removed from Disney Plus in Hong Kong because it depicts the Simpsons family going on a trip to China. There's an adoption that occurs and it features Tiananmen Square. And so obviously the Chinese authorities don't like this very much.
They don't like to think about that, do
Disney
they?
Have acquiesced to Chinese pressure. And actually, it's not the first time they've done that either, because back when Mulan...
So they cancelled that show?
You cannot get that in Hong Kong. You can get the rest of it, but that episode is just missing. Blank space. It goes straight from episode 11 to episode 13.
I'm not a massive expert on The Simpsons. Does it mean that it's...
you don't miss anything, I don't think.
Well, I don't know whether you missed any part of the plot lines.
No, but I think... So
there's no plot.
Back when they... they've lost the plot.
It kind of is a plot. I mean, it's like Family Guy. There's always a story going on.
Yeah, there's definitely no continuing.
I mean, I've watched cartoons. I know how it works.
Yeah.
But they, back in September, I think it was last year, they released this new Mulan film. And in the credits, they credited the Xinjiang security services, which, of course, Xinjiang is an area where there are a lot of Uyghur Muslims
who are
being held captive, essentially.
So what do they have to do with this film, then?
Camps. So they were criticised for it at the time. There hasn't been any consequence for them. But this is just one more reminder that Disney Plus are complete hypocrites.
Do you think it's just because
are absolutely in the pocket of China.
Because it's the Chinese market for Disney Plus is absolutely massive. That's what it's
about.
Well,
that's the thing. It is, but that's the thing. But, I mean, albeit that it's commercialism, you should still have a little bit of a backbone, shouldn't you? Some kind of morality. Absolutely. I mean, everybody used to say, famously, if you could sell a box of matches to everybody in China, you'd be a billionaire overnight.
But if you're putting out commercials about Black Lives Matter, which obviously is premised to some degree on the idea that you are opposed to historic slavery, why would you then not take some kind of stance as a company, because many companies now are taking moral stances on certain things, but not others. Why would you not take a moral stance on something that is happening right now?
Well, be consistent.
Yes.
Exactly. It's just
because
hypocrisy.
You're supposed to want to try and influence the government that has been misbehaving, if you want to call it that. This is rather an understated way of describing what they're doing. But, you know, you're supposed to be able to influence them. So if you say, look, we will not put our stuff into your country unless you stop doing that.
But surely if you're so concerned about being on the wrong side of history in real terms, then you would see that as being some kind of reputational risk in doing something
you would think,
like this.
But unfortunately, everybody's such a hypocrite.
But the reality is that all they want to do is they want to virtue signal about Black Lives Matter because that's easier for them to do that, because it's timely and it's convenient. But when it actually comes to this commercial pressure that's being put on them from China, they immediately put their hands up and say, sure, we'll do whatever Xi Jinping wants.
It'd still be a massively huge and wealthy company if they didn't go into China.
This is the same channel, of course, that was one of the first ones to put those stupid warning messages on films and TV shows.
Yes.
You know, so Lady in the Tramp, for instance, that of course was made in whenever the 1960s or 70s. You know, it's not it's not something that is represented by today's views.
What could possibly be problematic about Lady and the Tramp?
Misogynistic, of course.
Oh, no, another cast. Did they not put one on the Aristocats as well?
Yeah, exactly.
And they put one on Aladdin, I think. You know, all sorts of...
But it's back to the Freddie Flintoff, Roger
Moore point.
Well, I was going to say, Freddie Flintoff had a field day.
Yeah, you expect the 1970s to reflect, guess what, the 1970s.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't look forward 40 years as a broadcaster and decide what was going to be politically correct in 40 years.
This is Lewis Hamilton levels of hypocrisy, isn't it? Because remember, he went to... I can't even believe we didn't put him in last week. He went to the Qatar Grand Prix.
Exactly.
But he wore a rainbow helmet.
Yeah.
Right? In a country where homosexuality is actually illegal.
Yeah.
So but for him, that's his way of showing some kind of...
But he still took the money for the race.
...resistance. And he still raced.
Yeah, he still took the money, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't see him donating that to charity. That's the pandemic.
That really is absolutely the pandemic. Unbelievable. Now, we always carry one over, and it's been a struggle to think of who to bring over, but I think... I've got
one more to do.
Have you? Okay, well, I can interrupt at any time. You know, this is my show, so...
Okay.
But if you want to do yours first, go ahead.
National Tyres and Auto Care.
Excellent.
Yes. A bit of Christmas spirit being injected here as we're only a little while away. So this is a press release that came out from the National Tyres and Auto Care Company, which warns us that when we're on our way to Christmas do's or perhaps on our way to work in our kind of Christmas jumpers for Christmas jumper
I don't think there's going to be any Christmas do's, by the
way. Well, maybe there might be all cancelled. But they've actually warned that we shouldn't do that. So no Christmas jumpers with flashing lights, no antlers on your head, no tinsel. And the reason is it's dangerous,
is it?
Apparently. You might crash.
Right.
But also you
probably
risk...
is dangerous to wear antlers in your car.
You risk a £5,000 fine because technically all of these things are a breach of the highway code. So I'd just like to say thank you to National Tyres and Auto Care for being so woke as to basically tell us what we can and can't wear behind the wheel.
So
of
if you're wearing a Christmas jumper, that's now an offence, is it?
Well,
I think it should be, to be honest.
It could restrict you, I guess, in a three-point turn situation, because if there's lights flashing, that might
distract you. But what if it doesn't have any lights on? What if it's just a Christmas jumper with a picture of a Christmas tree on it? How can they do you for that?
Maybe that's distracting. I don't know.
I charge you with
drivers, is it dependent perhaps on the height of the reindeer antlers?
I don't know. I don't think they've gone into that much detail.
Also,
in the press
what if you've got a convertible and they stick out the top? Yeah, how about a sunroof?
Maybe that's
I've got a sunroof, so...
Yeah. It could still be distracting
that might be
to other
more
drivers.
Dangerous.
Yeah, I must admit, I hate people that put stuff like that on their cars. If I see them, think you complete... numpty.
I thought this was
reindeer antlers on the car. You know, those eyelashes on the headlights, that kind of thing. I mean, come on.
I thought if we're not under threat enough from Christmas being cancelled every 10 minutes or so by someone or other, this lot had seemed to be determined just to take the last morsel of joy out of Christmas and to stop us.
Hasn't there been somebody trying to degender Santa at some point? I mean,
this is what a good friend of mine describes as insect authority.
Yes, it really is.
People who have got their little bit of power,
yeah,
and they want to use it like the Grinch to stop you from having
any fun at all. Yeah,
life has been cancelled.
Yes, you can't be having any fun. I think these people, I mean, go back to Susan Mickey and people like her, they don't want people to have any fun. Mm. They live in big houses. They don't want to meet anyone that they don't really know. They're quite happy not to go anywhere. Quite happy not to go out drinking or carousing. You know, I mean, it's a very weird life they live a lot.
Well, we've become very clinicised, very sanitised, very risk-averse.
Yes.
Anything with a bit of fun, of course, might involve some element of risk, so therefore we should cancel it. Mm. That's exactly where we
God
are.
God forbid anybody should have any feelings, positive or negative, about anything in their lives.
Yeah, and if you do, for heaven's sake, don't share them.
But it's all rather Maoist, isn't it?
I don't share them, emote as much as possible.
So I'm going to bring in first the one we're carrying over. It's going to be Keir Starmer, obviously, because in the midst of all of this crazy madness, which we failed miserably to cancel out of the plank show, this bleeding variant that we keep talking about. In the midst of it, suddenly yesterday, right, he decides to have a reshuffle.
Yeah.
And nobody knows why.
Well, nor does Angela Rayner.
No.
Well, some people think he decided to have it because she was making some kind of speech, but I mean, I don't know whether that's true.
I thought that it was beautifully plankish that she gave that speech saying that she wanted the Labour Party to be seen as a government in waiting when the Labour Party can't
behind
even
her.
Communicate between the leader and the deputy leader.
Right. Well, and he must have done it on purpose because, of course, at the end of her speech, she got a lot of questions about the reshuffle. Yeah. And she's thinking, I don't really know.
And then she
about
went,
this.
Well, they wouldn't be doing it without telling me.
And one of the people
well,
reshuffled,
guess what?
One of the people reshuffled, Kat Smith, is actually on Rayner's team. So that's how little she knew.
Yeah. I know, amazing. But that was the thing. Nothing happened for hours on end, you know, because I was here first when I was told, oh, there's a reshuffle going on. I went, so, don't care.
Yeah.
Well, let me know when something happens. Nothing happened.
Someone's been moved.
An hour. I was going to say it was the curse of Rob Rinder, because the guy who was on his show on Friday, something Simmons, I can't remember his name, but he was apparently the opposite number to Priti Patel. He was the shadow Home Office, or Home Secretary. And Rinder brought him in and said, the thing is, I've asked a lot of people about you. Nobody knows who you are. And now he's out. So people still need to be given some other job. Lisa Nanny's been shoved off somewhere. And I read this morning what had happened. And it's a whole sort of intricate internecine map that you can draw of who's gone. And nobody cares.
Does anybody really care?
Nobody
who's
does.
The shadow secretary of
nobody
State for
cares.
Wales?
And it literally took hours.
Yep.
And I kept, because I was then out for lunch, still nothing. Came back from lunch, still nothing. It was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock before something happened. Mm. And it went on and sort of all
trying
night.
Trying to keep you in suspense.
It went on, yeah. And it was like, I don't care. Mm. Stop, you know, telling me things have happened.
Did he explain why he'd done it? Because not only is it pointless, I mean, no one cares, but what was his reason for doing it? I mean, literally.
Well, he's got nothing else to do, has he?
He just moved the deck chairs around on the Titanic.
Now that he's not doing the second job, you know, he has to fill in a bit of time.
Nick
Thomas Simmons was
another thing that makes that very plankish is that all he has to do in order to creep above the Conservatives in the opinion polling is nothing at all.
Yeah, just keep his mouth
shut. Just don't do anything.
The highest rating he got was when he was in isolation. So actually, the best thing he should do is just stay at home.
Yes.
Just don't go out.
Good leadership.
Right? Leave Angela Rayner to do everything. And it actually works out quite well for them. Mm. Astonishing. Final nominee from me is Priti Patel and the mess. Talking about, you know, the shadow Home Secretary. What about the current Home Secretary and the mess that was created before? Because we've forgotten already that terrible story of 27 people dying in the English Channel, which I'm really surprised hasn't happened more often. You know,
well, maybe it has.
Way.
We just don't know.
And maybe it has because we just don't know. But we're finding things out like, you know, people are getting threatened with guns. People are getting shot at, you know, in order to get on the boat to go across, to come across. So some of them are even being forced to come. But every single week, I think, that I've been doing this radio show, she says, we're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever happens.
Yeah. And she's the same on crime. She's the same on every other part of the brief. Great at sitting in front of a camera, rhetoric, promises and so on. And then, of course, nothing happens. I was listening to your show yesterday, actually, and both crying with despair and laughing at your conversation with the Conservative MP.
Oh, yeah, David Simmons.
Yeah, who started off with promise, but then he just turned into a kind of woke general, didn't he, at the end of
it? He just kept saying things like, well, of course, you know, they're very valuable to the economy because they come here.
We've got to take our fair share.
In the NHS, and then we've got to take our fair share. And I just said, well, why? What exactly are we taking our fair share of? Mm. Why? You know, and he wasn't having any of it, you know, and he just kept talking about this bill that's going through, which is not going to even get through till about April or May, by which time another 40,000 people will have arrived. You know, it's just ridiculous.
They just rehearse the same platitudes over and over and over again. And
it's almost as if they don't want to stop it.
Well, no, but I don't think they do. I've got some numbers here.
Right.
If you can indulge me just for a second.
Right.
So there was a peak in terms of failed asylum seekers. So these are asylum seekers that have gone through the process and failed.
Yeah.
So not just asylum seekers, the ones that have failed the process. And back in 2013, the number that were returned peaked at 46,000. So in 2013, 46,000 failed asylum seekers were sent back to their country of origin. Last year, under Priti Patel, it was 8,000. It's dropped dramatically. And at the same time, those claiming asylum has doubled since 2010. So the amount claiming has gone like that. The amount that are failing and are being deported has gone like that.
Yeah.
Priti Patel is failing. Make no mistake. I mean, there is absolutely no way around the data.
Mm.
She, her Home Office and the whole government on immigration, and you're right, it is almost as if they don't want to do anything about it.
And then they have the brass to put out comments such as saying, we're going to stop 100% of channel crossings.
Yeah.
As if anybody could possibly
hope it
would believe
go away.
That after you've had many thousands
it's almost like
coming
they just,
over in a single day.
It's like they seem to think it like it's just going to stop. They're going to wake up one day and nobody's coming anymore.
Mm.
And that's not what's going to happen, is it?
But they're out of their depth, these politicians.
Yeah.
You know, not only are they out of depth and incompetent, but, of course, they don't know who to try and please one day to the next. They shouldn't be politicians. If they can't be conviction politicians and actually have a stand, have an ideology and a vision and just stick to it, no matter the fact that it might upset 40% of the population, guess what? That's politics. But they don't seem to be able to do that.
No.
Boris Johnson's led us into this thing where he's trying to please all the people all the time, which is impossible.
Mm.
But again, who's advising them on the PR? Is it the same as the City of London Corporation?
Yeah,
because
no one.
Who is telling them, set yourself up for a fall so that you set the bar so high as it is possible to set it, so that you can't even get a slight modicum of success.
But it's because in the sort of darkest corners of the Home Office and in Border Force, they don't want to stop it. I mean, Border Force, I think, were only 2 weeks ago bringing a lawsuit because they wanted to get a ruling on why they were being told to send people back.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to send people back.
How absolutely absurd that the Home Secretary could issue an instruction to turn boats back, and then the border force that is not elected can say, sorry, we're not doing that.
This is all part of this kind of disquiet within these departments, isn't it? Where you've got the members, the elected members, saying that we want to do something, but obviously not robustly enough. And yes, the civil servants with their own agendas doing their own thing.
Well, most of them are working from home as well.
Yes.
I bet you went down the Home Office now, there'd be hardly anybody there.
Yeah, probably part of the problem. No accountability.
No, exactly right.
Which needs to start firing people.
Well, I mean, I think Boris needs to find a new Home Secretary, doesn't he? Well, but he won't, because she spends with him.
Well, yeah, and also, look, say what you like about Dominic Cummings, one of the greatest things I think that he decided to do, obviously was never able to do so, was a root and branch transformation of the civil service. Mm-hmm. The civil service are running this country with no scrutiny, no accountability.
All that happens, you got that bloke out of the Home Office who then claimed about 600 grand from the
for being bullied.
Yeah.
We've become a blobocracy.
Blobocracy is very right, very true. Mm-hmm. Well, that's brought us to the end of those nominations. We've got 10 to look at. We're going to try and pick now exactly who is going to win Plank of the Week. So, guys, you remember how this works. Russell, why don't you tell Emma what your three are, and she will pick one of those to go into the final.
So, Ed Davey, Fremantle Council, Western Australia. Sorry, I can't help but laugh when I say that. Fremantle Council, Western Australia, or the National Tyre and Auto Care Company.
There's no competition.
They're all pretty good, though.
Fremantle Council, or whatever it's called.
The Cat Banning Council.
The Cat Banning Council.
I think you're going to go a long way. It's going to go a long way to beat that, aren't you? That is extraordinary.
There's no competition.
I mean, I don't know how seriously people want us to be taking this story, because if we make them Plank of the Week, you know, that might skew everything.
Diplomatic crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or what they're going to ban next if we encourage them, yeah.
I mean, they'll give somebody an idea, surely, in Somerset or something, you know. So, Emma, tell me your three.
The RAF,
yes.
The City of London Corporation, or Disney Plus.
Mm. Yes, I think it's the RAF. I think the RAF is the most heinous of those three. The City of London thing is really stupid, but it's not as bad as
the air service.
Completely doing away with an entire gender.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, two genders, right? So they've got no genders at all now.
Yeah. And calling them after a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah, that is mad. Okay, so Russell, you want to pick mine?
Go on.
So I've got Priti Patel, mm-hmm. Freddie Flintoff, and the BBC.
Well, the BBC win it quite frequently, don't they? As they deserve to do. So
well, when we're going to do towards the end of this month, Plank of the Year, the BBC are up there.
Yeah, so I'm minded not to choose them just for that reason. I think Priti Patel.
Okay.
Just because I think it's so serious.
It's such a big story, though.
She's at so odds with herself. The rhetoric, what she says and what she does are two so diverse and completely opposite things.
Well, she doesn't seem to do anything.
She's a continuing plank.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you've got to say, the French have got some part to play as well in this, because the French have been particularly awful.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's saying something. Well, they disinvited her from a meeting at the weekend because they didn't like the fact that Boris had published one of his letters to them. You know, I mean, really? I mean, people are dying.
Yeah, this is the wake of 27 people dying. Yeah.
No, you cannot come. Yeah. You're not going to
Macron just stamping his little feet.
Party. No, no. I mean, really, for God's sake. Right, so we are then Fremantle Cats, I've got here as my shorthand, Priti Patel and the RAF. Is there any show in the world that you could have those three things as the most troublesome events
of the
week, right? I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I'm not against the Cats winning it. It's politically neutral, which is not something I'm usually very good at.
I mean, it's so plankish, isn't it? It is so ridiculous. And so, I mean, if it was April the 1st, you'd pick that as one that was made up, wouldn't you?
I think it's my favourite plank nomination of all time.
Of all time. I mean, tragically, unless we can vote them back in again next week, they won't make it, I think, into the planks of the year. But it might get an honourable mention, right? Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So
Priti Patel second.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
It's the RAF third.
Yeah.
You've almost come to expect it of the RAF.
I don't know what's going on with our armed forces. I mean, we're selling
after what
selling
happened
off
with the
everything.
MOD and their pronouns. I think it's to be expected.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
What next? Absolutely. Yeah. Risk assessments before you fix bayonets.
I don't think they do that anymore, to be honest. I think you may be slightly behind the times on that.
They'll be getting rid of their bomber jets, which is scary.
I mean, we'll probably be down to that once we have so little money.
We've got nothing left.
You know,
no aircraft carriers.
Take
us
out of the Imperial War Museum to fight anybody with, you know. Right, well, thank you very much indeed. So, we've got the RAF coming in third. We've got Priti Patel coming in second. But the winners, for the first time ever, of Plank of the Week, the Cats. in Fremantle, but it's not actually the cats. It's the people that have told the cats not to go out. Fremantle Council, Plates of the Week. Thank you very much to Emma Webb. Thank you, Russell. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.